Morning, everybody. Well, you see these beautiful young people up here playing so amazing. I know you can do better than that for them. Good morning. You guys don't have to, you can't understand just how proud I am right now. So just kind of bear with me a little bit. But in thinking about what I wanted to tell you this morning, kind of investments came to mind. You know, I have Roman and Chad, and I started these investment accounts for their college and future and things like that. And the first thing they tell you when you do this is, say, don't look at it every day. Don't look at it every day. So, of course, what do? I look at it every day. So I start out looking at this, and I got some days I'm like, man, yeah. And some days you open it up, you're like, this can't be right. You try to shake the phone to see if it's different. I'd be better off playing the lottery. What's going on? But when I think about investments, I think about what you've done for us. So often I talk to many youth pastors, and they say, man, the church is dying. I say, why is it dying? So we got two youth. We got two kids that come, and one of them is 8 years old, and one of them is 18. You know, it's dying. It's dying. But I think about Eagles Way and how you guys invest in us. From it's going on 4.5 years that I've been here. Almost 4 years I've been here. And never once have I had to come to you and ask for anything for these kids. Never once have I had to beg just the needs or just provided. And I thank you. I thank you for that. And I think today what you're seeing before you with this youth band is the payoff from that. You're seeing your investment right here on stage. Oftentimes I hear about the current band and how they used to play in the youth, and now you're seeing our youth band up here on stage for the first time, and it's just absolutely overwhelming for me. And at this moment, I couldn't be more proud of these young people. I couldn't be more proud of them, and I couldn't be more thankful for what you've done and how you've helped us get to this point. As we're getting ready to go to camp now, sat down with Will to go over the numbers and looking at what we were supposed to pay versus what we had to pay because of your donations, because of your scholarships, because of what you poured into these young people. It was just absolutely overwhelming. And on behalf of them, behalf of all the youth group, I just wanted to stand before you and say thank you. And, you know, we'd like nothing more for you to just stand and worship with us today.
Thank you. Closer as youth, and it talks about just opening up to the Holy Spirit. And I think ever since all of us have heard this song, we've all opened up so much. And during this song, we were all crying and, you know, just being together. And we're so glad that we can be here today to worship with you guys. In Jesus' name.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are our living hope. Of the sweetest of loves, when my heart
You may be seated. Amazing, huh? Some of you may know, some of you may not know, but even I think it was last summer, we took 4 weeks or 6 weeks, and he did lessons during the week and taught them their instruments, some of them already knew their instruments, helped them perfect some of those instruments, and so he has invested a lot of time and effort into that, and we're so grateful. Just remind you, you have a connection card, it's in your bulletin. Each week we want you to fill that out. It's the way that you communicate with us, what's going on. Believe it or not, not all of us do Facebook. Don't put something on Facebook expecting us to understand and know what's going on in your world. We need for you to use these cards or call the church office so that we make sure that we can keep up with you. God bless us, Pastor Bjornko.
Wow, that's good stuff, wasn't it? It's pretty amazing. You know, over 53 years of Eagles Way history, that two things you need to know about that's happened in this church is that it has turned out a lot of singers and musicians and preachers. And Michael Thurston, he is up in Highlands did a wedding last night, and that's where a lot of our young couples are. And I tell people that come to me about weddings, and I always tell them, I say, if you want a good wedding, get Michael Thurston to do your wedding. He's got that down. He, boy, can do weddings. And we're just blessed to have such good people. You know, God is a good father. I love that song. He's a good, good father, and you're good, good people. He's got good, good sons and daughters. You know that? Do you know you're good? You're good. You're good because God's in you. So you got to be good, right? Now, you may not be good all the time, but he still thinks you're good, and he still calls you good because you are good. Say, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good. I'm a good person. That's right. Whether you believe it or not. It's what God says about you, not what you say about you. It's not what other people say about you. It's what God says about you. I mean, no, that's true. It's what God says about me, and I want to say about me what God says about me. I want to agree with God. That's the greatest person to agree with is God, because God is on your side. And what we're going to talk about this morning is two more sons. We're in a series about the banquet table, and this series is about the Father's blessings at the table. Next month, we're going to do a month series on healing at the table. We started to do that a couple of months ago, and I got sidetracked. And I went from not healing at the table, but maintaining your healing at the table. But this time, God's been speaking two words, two principles to me over the last few months. And then we was in a staff meeting a couple of weeks ago, and this just really surfaced. But the Bible says, Jesus said this. He said, a wise scribe will bring out of his treasure things old and new. He will bring out of his treasure things old and new. Now, Eagles Way has always been a progressive church, and we've always said we don't put periods by everything, but we put commas by a lot of things. And the comma is, this is what we see, this is what we believe, this is what we know now. But it may not be what we see and what we believe and what we know tomorrow, right? How many know you can change? How many know you can teach an old dog new tricks? You really can. I used to say that all the time till we had an old dog. We had a dog named Gabby. Gabby learned more tricks in her old age than she did in a young age because Barbara taught her these tricks. She would play hide and seek with Barbara at 13 years old. She'd play hide and seek. Barbara would throw out three different toys and tell her to go get each one. Name that toy by name, and that dog would go get it. Now, if Gabby can do that, you can change. If Gabby can, an old boxer can learn new stuff, you can learn new stuff, right? And you can become better at what you're doing, and you can go fetch what you need to fetch. I wonder sometimes, I believe Barbara's trained me, and I didn't even know it. All I find myself doing is washing dishes and cleaning up, and I think, my gosh, that woman trained me. She's good. She is really, really good. And so you can teach an old dog new tricks. So two things that God's been speaking to my heart, and it's this, the principle of inner healing. Say inner healing. You know, the Bible talks about an inner man, and the inner man's more important than the outer man because the inner man determines what the outer man does. The inner man determines what the outer man becomes. See, the Bible says we're not transformed outwardly, but we are transformed inwardly. If you try to transform outwardly, you'll be conformed. I'll say that again. If you try to be transformed outwardly, you will be conformed. You will conform to the world. You'll conform to the world's ideas, the world's thoughts, the world's principles. But if you're transformed, then you will come from the inside out. We sing a song about the inside out. That's how we're transformed. And so we're going to be talking a lot about inner healing because there's an inner person in you. There's an inner man, if you will, that needs to be healed. You know, if we was as determined to heal the soul as we are the body, oh, what a difference in this world it would be. If we were as focused on healing the heart, the soul, as we are the body, what a difference it would be. And the other principle is the principle of restoration. And I've defined restoration as this: getting back all and much more of what I've lost. Getting back all and much more than what I've lost. Because that's what an overcomer is. An overcomer is not someone who's just victorious and gets back what was stolen. But the Bible says if a thief is discovered, he's got to return seven times what he took. That's a principle. Restoration is not just getting back to where you were. How many know sometimes that's not enough? Just to get back to where I was, I want to get beyond where I was and be better than where I was. And so Jacob, he's blessing his 12 sons, and he's telling them their weaknesses, and he's telling them their strengths. How many know it's good to know your strengths, and it's also good to know your weaknesses? Because if I don't know my strengths, then I won't know what I can do. And if I don't know my weaknesses, then I don't know what I need to strengthen. See, we all have strengths and weaknesses, every one of us. If God the Father would stand here today and start blessing us and prophesying over us the way that Jacob did his sons, he would begin to say things over us, telling us who we are, but whispering in our ear what we need to change. And so he started with Reuben. He said, "Reuben, you are preeminent. You're the firstborn. You have an awesome inheritance, but you're unstable as water. Your passions are out of control. Your passions need to be brought in line with God." How many know what's wrong with this country as much as anything else? It's not politically. It's not all that you see posted on Facebook. What's wrong with this country is that we have unbridled passions. Okay, don't shout me down when I'm preaching. We got unbridled passions, unbridled lust. And Reuben, you need to bring your lust under control. Paul said, if you got lust, marry. So he said, if you're burning with passion, get married. Get, you know, God created all this. You know that, don't you? Do you know that God created sex? But he said, I'm creating it so that it can be in the right way. I want the passions of that to be the way that it ought to be. And if it's that way, then it will be wonderful. Man, I don't know why I'm preaching this morning. I didn't have any intention on going here, but somebody is pulling it out of me. I don't know where you are, but you are sitting here somewhere. You need to bring that under control, and you can do it. Yes, you can do it. I said, you can do it, not God can do it. We know God can do it. God's got no problem with any of that. But he says you can do it. And see, what we do, we wait on God to do something that he's saying, no, that's what you do. That's what you do. And so he says, Reuben, you need to get this under control, buddy. You need to bring your passions under control. And then he says to Simeon and Levi, you got an anger issue. You guys just can't go around mad all the time. Hello. You angry? You don't, you know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. I really still don't know what that means. I'll be honest. Now, I've heard a lot of preaching about it. I've heard a lot of people talk about what it means to be angry and don't sin. I don't really know what that means. I kind of think it means this. If you get angry, handle it before you sin. Maybe. That's what I believe anyway. I believe that it means if you get angry, stop in your tracks, calm down, look inside, don't speak. Best thing you can do when you're angry, don't say anything. Because I guarantee you what's going to come out is not going to be good. And probably what comes out, you're going to wish you hadn't said it. And so he says, bring your anger under control. And he says, Judah, ain't nothing I can say about you, Judah. Judah's full of praise. And because you're full of praise, you're going to be victorious everywhere you go. You're going to have a scepter in your hand, and you're going to rule and reign because you know what it means to praise. You know what it means to be grateful, to be thankful, to give praise and adoration all the time. I will bless the Lord how often? At all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all of my iniquities and who healeth all of my diseases, who crowneth my life with loving kindness, and he renews my youth like an eagle renews itself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he said to Zebulun, Zebulun, you're going to be a haven of rest. You're going to be a port. You're going to be a place when the storm's at sea and the ships are at sea, they can come in and find peace. They can come out of the storm and they can find peace. And Issachar, you're going to be one who's going to bear the burdens of many. You're going to couch between two burdens and you're going to bear the burdens. And the Bible says we're to bear one another's burdens. And then he called another son out, Dan. And he said, Dan, in Genesis 49, verses 16 through 18, Dan will govern his people like any other tribe in Israel. Now, a better translation of that is Dan will judge his people, which is not as good as govern his people sounds. How many know that if you govern, you got to judge? If you govern, you got to judge. Kings judged. And so you got to be careful because governing's wonderful, but you got to understand something. In governing, you also have to judge. And you got to be careful because if your judgment is without mercy, then it's not going to be good government. And what he's really wanting Dan to see, Dan, I want your government not to be with judgment, but with mercy. And so he says, Dan will be a snake beside the road, a poisonous viper along the path that bites the horse's hooves so its rider is thrown off. Period. Then all of a sudden he says this, I trust in you for salvation, O Lord. Now here's, you got to get this. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Does this make any sense to y'all? No, come on. It didn't make any sense to me either. So that way, when something doesn't make any sense, I got to do what the Bible tells me to do as a teacher and as a preacher, study the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth, get all the pieces together. So I stopped there, and here's Jacob. He's blessing Dan. He says, Dan, you're going to judge, you're going to govern, but you're going to be like a viper, like a snake that bites the heels when somebody comes by, strikes from behind. You're not going to be one face to face. You're going to be a backbiter. Ooh. And then Jacob, when he realizes what he just said over his son, he says, oh, God, I trust you for salvation, oh, Lord. Lord, I trust you to help Dan out. I trust you, oh, Lord, to let him realize where he's judging from, where he's governing from. Let him realize as a parent how you to serve and how you to govern, not with judgment, but with mercy. How you, as elders, he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, elders, don't do it for money and don't run roughshod over God's people, but be an example to them. Do it in the right way. Do it with love and do it with mercy. And I trust you, oh God, that you will help Dan. And let me tell you what happened to Dan. He didn't get help. Dan didn't help himself. And so in Revelation chapter 7, when you see the 12 tribes of Israel mentioned, Dan's not there. There's a tribe called Manasseh. Manasseh means to forget. In other words, Dan meant vindication. Manasseh come along and said, forgive and forget and move on. There's a big, huge difference. So the Bible says, do not take revenge. Do you know that God takes care of you? Do you know God's got your back? Do you know that God, if you will let things alone, God will be on your side? But if you take things into your hand, he steps back and lets you have it. But if you'll give it to him, vengeance is mine, he says. I'll repay. David one time thought he was being a little cute. And David one time, Saul's after him and trying to kill him. And Saul is king. David knows he's going to be king. And so David's and his men are in a cave. And Saul comes in, the Bible says, to relieve himself. And David sneaks up behind him, cuts a piece of his robe off, is messing with him. And they yell at David's men, wanted to say, kill him. Kill him. And David says, no. And David got convicted. David come under conviction. He says, the Bible says, touch not God's anointed. And he got all convicted. And he asked God to forgive him, because he realized vengeance wasn't his. Wasn't his to do. Never try to, you know, the Bible says to do to your enemies, besides, you know, the Bible says pray for your enemies. But you know what the Bible also says? If they're hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. He says, if you do that, it's like heaping coals of fire upon their head. Now, when I used to read that years ago, I thought, if I'm nice to my enemies, it's going to make them burn up. No, what he's saying is, back then, they would go into the town, especially the ladies, and they would get coals of fire, and they put them, had these big towels around their head, and these coals of fire they would carry on their head back to their house, and they would put the coals of fire into the oven to cook with and to stay warm. You see, when you're good to your enemy, you're warming up their heart. You're warming them up. You're not taking vengeance over them. You're warming them up. And then he talks about a son named Gad and said, Gad, you're going to be overcome, but in the end, you're going to overcome. Someone called me yesterday, and they was asking me about some things, and they started apologizing to me for a season in their life when things really got awry in them, and they really was doing some things they shouldn't be doing, and they really almost destroyed themselves. They really almost died. And they were apologizing to me, and I stopped them. I said, whoa. I said, you're telling me of where you were. She said, yes. I said, that's not where you are now. That's not where you are now. Now, you're finishing well. And about that time, they just started crying and said, thank you. I so needed that. It's not where you were yesterday. It's where you are today. It's not what happened months ago, it's what's happening now. Because, you know, what really matters is that you finish well. And Jacob said to Dan, you're going to be overcome. This troop's going to come in and overcome you, but in the end, you're going to win. Aren't you glad of that? And so James chapter 4, it kind of tells us how to win in battles. I mean, anybody ever been in a battle? Here's what James says. What is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? It's simply, when your desires are not God's desires, there's war. There's war. There's this battle going on inside. See, our battle, we don't fight against flesh and blood. Our battle is not out here. Our battle's in here. That's where it is. And so when my desires get outside the will of God, then I'm battling. He says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what other people have. He said, you got to get this under control. You got to realize, get your desires lined up with God's desires. Don't be envious and don't be jealous. He says, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Sometimes we just forget to pray. We have to be reminded every now and then when Mike in the house to pray. We sometimes forget to pray. And one evening we were there and Dusty said, have we prayed for Mike lately? Why don't we pray? Why don't we ask God for what we need? Because people can't give you what you need. Then sometimes you do pray, but he says you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what you give for your pleasure. I may remember I've said this several times over the last several weeks. God wants to bless you to be a blessing. You are a conduit of God's flow. We're a conduit of His Spirit. We're a conduit of His gifts. We're a conduit. That's all we are, is a conduit. And if we stop up, guess what? Well, I won't even say what I was thinking. We're blessed to be a blessing. He says, you know what? Most people ask God for stuff that you automatically get if you seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. I've said this so many times before, but Barbara and I have decided, living in a trailer when we first got married, we adopted a scripture that we live our life on, and we've lived it now for 40 bunch years. It says this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And in 40 something years, 5 I think coming up, we've never asked God for a home, for food, clothing. We don't ask God for things. They just automatically come along because you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You don't have to ask for those things. Jesus even said this: why are you asking for this stuff? Consider the birds. They don't toil, yet God feeds them. Consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil and they don't spin. They didn't make themselves this beauty. They just became beautiful because of God. He says, if you'll understand this, and this is what happened with you. So how do I overcome? How do I do this? He says simply this: submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. I want to close with this. In Deuteronomy 20, the priest stood before Israel and told Israel, said, don't worry about when you come into confrontations and battles. God is with you and you're going to overcome. You're going to win your battles. Don't worry about it. Every one of them you come encounter with, you're going to win your battles. And then the priest told some leaders, now go tell the warriors this. And see, what Gad was a warrior. He says, go tell the people this, the warriors. If you got a house and you haven't dedicated it yet, go home. Don't go to war. If you hadn't dedicated your life, don't go to war. You don't want to fight. You don't want to go to war if you hadn't dedicated your... Anybody listening? Don't go to war if you hadn't dedicated your life to God. Don't enter into the enemy's territory. Don't try to fight battles if you haven't dedicated your house to God. Because if you dedicate your life to God, you can walk into any battle. See, you get up every morning, you say, I'm dedicated to God. This house is dedicated to God. Therefore, anything that comes against this house, guess what? It's going down. It's not going to be victorious because this house is dedicated to God. Then he said another thing. He said, if you've planted a vineyard and you haven't eaten the fruit of it yet, go home. I love them scriptures because those scriptures make you think. Don't you think? I mean, those scriptures, I love when I read something and I scratch my head and go, what in the world? And after all these years of ministry, I read stuff and I still, what in the world? That's the reason I'll be preaching sometime and I'll read a scripture and I'll tell you right out, I don't know what that means. I have no clue what that's saying. But I think I got a clue about what he's saying here. If you haven't dedicated your life to God, don't go into battle. If you're not partaking of your fruit, you're not ready for battle. If the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, kindness and meekness and faith is not evident in your life, don't go into battle. Because I'm going to tell you what you're going to need in battles, patience. I'm going to tell you what you're going to need in battle, love. You're going to need that. You're going to need self-control. You're going to need faith. So don't go into battle if you're not taking the fruit of the Holy Spirit with you. If you haven't partaken of it, don't go into battle. And he said this, if you're engaged and you're about to marry and you haven't fulfilled your obligation to your wife yet, don't go to battle. Whoa. Wow. Ooh. That's a toughie. Because Peter said, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge and be good to them so that your prayers are not hindered. If you're not fulfilling your obligation at home, be careful when you go into battle, because if you can't fulfill that obligation, it's going to hamper what happens in the field. You see, God's a God of simplicity. God's a God of practicality. God is a God who wants you to know it's the everyday simple things in life that dictate what's going to happen every single moment of your life. And so, if I'm dealing with all my situations out of mercy, and if I'm dealing with all of my situations out of vigilance, out of understanding, out of, let me think about this. Let me think about this before I do anything about this. Let me engage in this the way that I need to engage in this. See, God is a good, good Father. And He wants to do good, good things through you. And that's how He wants to conquer the world. That's how He wants to fill the earth with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Let me just say to you, let me just remind you, let me go back into my treasure and grab something really, really old. He ain't done yet. The glory of God, I don't care what the news media says. I don't care what all the news media say. I don't care what you read on TV. I don't care what you read on Facebook. I don't care what any social media comes at you and says anything other than it's going to get better. It's a lie. Because God's in it to win it. And the glory of the Lord's going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas. He's established it upon the floods. What shall we say then? Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He is the King of glory. He's going to win. He's going to win. Now, He can take a lot of different things and win with. He can win with anybody and anything. Hello. He helped a guy one time by a donkey talking to him. If he can use a donkey, he can use you. Balaam's on this donkey. He's going through, and there's an angel there. He's about to kill Balaam. And he starts beating the donkey because the donkey stops, because the donkey was smarter than Balaam. The donkey was God's creation, and the donkey saw the angel. And Balaam is God's creation, and he don't see the donkey smarter than Balaam. And then the donkey turns around, his head around, and I love this story. I ain't preaching this, I love this story. The donkey turns his head around and looks at Balaam and says to Balaam, "Why are you striking me?" Now, what gets me is not the donkey talking to Balaam. What gets me is Balaam talked back to the donkey. But if I'd have been on that donkey, I don't think I'd have talked back. I just went, "What? What? You talking to me?" And then he has this conversation with the donkey, and the donkey tells him why he shouldn't go, because an angel is going to cut his head off if he goes any further. And so Balaam gets saved by a donkey. Wow. Man, sometimes we don't think. Really, sometimes we just don't think. One thing sad about Christians, like some people get saved and they think it's all over. I got saved to go to heaven. You didn't get saved to go to heaven. You didn't get born again to go to heaven. That's not the purpose of your salvation, to go to heaven. How many know that? It's not it. Now, it's a good deal. It's a good benefit. I love the benefit. If I die, I go to heaven. That's not why he saved you, to bring you out, to bring you in, to bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light, to bring you out of this, to bring you into the goodness of God, the greatness of God. That's what he brought us out of, into something, not up somewhere. God's trying to come down. We're trying to go up. Still got it messed up. Still got the king. Still churches talking about us getting raptured out of here, and that's the best thing that ever happened to us, is get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. And God's trying to come down. John said, I saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice crying, saying, the tabernacle of God is with men. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And I shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no crying. For I will be their God, and they will be my sons and daughters. And I'll tabernacle in them. Hallelujah. I ain't preached kingdom in a long time. I just feel like preaching some kingdom right now. It's about him and you. God came in an old, ugly tabernacle, and he dwelt in it. They built him a temple, a glorious temple. He dwelt in it. Herod built him a temple. He dwelt in it. Jesus comes along, and he dwells in Jesus. But the temple he was looking for was not made with brick and mortar. The temple he was looking for is people. And he says, now we are the temple of God, and God dwells within us. That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit comes down here to take up his abode in us. And that's why we got to stop looking for God somewhere else. He's not way out there, over here, over there. He's right here. And if you look inside, you'll see him. If you look inside, you'll hear him. You'll look inside, you'll know. You'll know. Let's stand together. Today's the sacrament of healing. And I want to invite you to come down. And you may be here and you got a physical ailment. We want to pray for you with that. But also, maybe there's something inside you that gnaws at you. You want that to be healed. You want to have a fresh start. It's not where you are, where you've been. It's how you're going to finish. It's all about now. Not about yesterday, not about tomorrow. It's all about now. Always about now. Because we don't have a past and we never have a future. All you got's now. And until we learn to live in the moment, to live in the now, because that's all you have and that's all you'll ever have. Because when tomorrow gets here, guess what? It's now. And when the next day gets here, guess what? It's now. Tomorrow never gets here. Think about it. It'll be today when it gets here. And the past is the past. The future is the future. But today is what mounts to everything. Today is how I'm going to one day see my past and how I'll one day see my future. But it's right now. But you need God to touch your life in spirit, soul, or body. Just come down and let us pray with you. Let some other people come and pray with you. Let's do what James said. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's ask God for what is needed. Amen? So let's do that. Let's come and say, Lord, this is what I need in my life. This is what I want to happen in my life. You know, one thing I love about this sacrament is that God said, anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith would save the sick, and the Lord would raise them up. And then he said, if they've even committed any sins, they'd be forgiven. Well, it's a good way to just get real good and cleansed, Randy. You like that? Don't take a lot. Just takes a little. Just takes a little prayer of faith. Well, some others, just come and stand around. Some elders, just come and stand, and let's just believe God that, Lord, we anoint with oil, symbolic of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for healing in spirit and soul and in body. We just receive that by faith, not of works, but God, just total faith in you. Thank you.
You may be seated. As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, water baptism is not the 16th, it is the 23rd. And so if you have interest in being water baptized, need for you to see me by Sunday, either call the church office this week or touch base with me so that we can walk you through that process, and if you would like to be baptized on the 23rd. The 22nd is Rushton Hope, and it is a block party. So we are putting together a grill team and then some volunteers that want to help with that. We'll give you more information about that. That's from 10 until 1 on the 22nd. So a lot of important information there. And then I would like all of the campers, students that are going to summer camp, and all of the leaders that are going to summer camp, if you will begin making your way down here, we're going to pray over you and bless you. And yes, you can go ahead and begin picking those up, picking up the offering buckets. So if you're going to camp, come here. Come on. We're going to have a blast. I tell you, Jennifer could probably tell you exactly how many summer camps we have done over the years, or been to, or been a part of. But I can't tell you a camp that I'm more excited about than this one. Because the vision that I received about this summer camp is this little baby caterpillar and how it has grown and it goes into its cocoon. And what comes forth is this beautiful butterfly. And it's still the same animal, still the same creature. But it is so metamorphosed, it's so been changed that I anticipate it. And God is not only going to do something for you, he is going to do something in you and through you. You are going to minister to people in ways this week that you've never ministered to. It may be in a bunk at night. It may be during a service. It may be going down the river. But you're going to have words to say, things that you communicate, and it's going to strengthen you, and it's going to allow you to blossom.
Those leaders who are going down, I tell you, you'll be amazed how blessed you're going to be. It's just something to be off with these guys in a place totally away from everything and to see what happens. But I agree with Will. We just want to pray right now. I want to pray that what Will just said, what God's going to do in you and through you, is just going to be awesome. And then after we pray, I want your youth band to come up and send us out of here with Good, Good Father. I like that song. He's a good, good Father. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we release in them, through them, Lord, your goodness. And God, just let them experience this week your supernatural presence. And Lord, with each other, just let them grow in their relationship. Let them see each other, Lord, in a different light. For Lord, to reflect glory, we have to see glory. Help them to see the glory of God in one another. How awesome that would be, God, that they be able to see you in other people. And I believe that and release that in Christ's name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.